We read God's holy and inspired word this morning from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll read the first 26 verses of Proverbs 3 this morning. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. We read God's word that far this morning. The text for our sermon is verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's fitting for us on this first day of the year 2020, first day of a new decade, gather together to worship God and to receive encouragement from His Word. The passing of one year and the beginning of another year, passing of one decade in the beginning of another decade reminds us that our life on this earth is a pilgrimage. We're strangers in the midst of this world. This world is not our home. We don't have an abiding place here. But our life on this earth is very, very brief. Our days are fleeting. And we're simply passing through for a time as God is leading us onward to our eternal home in heaven. As we stand at the beginning of a new year, we realize the uncertainty of the future. The way before us on our pilgrim path is dark and unknown. We know what the ultimate destination is, but we don't know the path on which God is leading us there. And we can be tempted in the face of the uncertainty of the future to be filled with all kinds of fears and anxieties. It's good for us then to gather together and to hear God's word of instruction and encouragement to us for the way forward on our pilgrimage. We're reminded that God is with us always, will never leave us or forsake us, and we're encouraged to know that He's guiding us in a right and a wise and a good way in all of our life. The passage that we consider this morning does that. It's a well-known passage and a good word of comfort and encouragement to us. The passage uses the figure of a pilgrim or a traveler. Notice in the text the reference to our ways and our paths. And in verse 5 it speaks of not leaning upon our own understanding, but the idea there is leaning upon a walking stick or a staff or leaning upon another person as we're traveling the pathway that God has set before us. The passage is speaking of our life as pilgrims and travelers. And it exhorts us in the path that God has set before us to trust in Him. To trust in God alone, to trust in God in all of our ways. Whatever the way forward for us is in this year, whether that way is relatively easy or that way is difficult, we're called to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Consider this text this morning under the theme, the traveler's trust. First of all, notice the comprehensive calling. Secondly, the exclusive object. And thirdly, the encouraging promise. The traveler's trust, the comprehensive calling, the exclusive object, the encouraging promise. Passage refers to our earthly life in terms of ways and paths. From a certain point of view, for the child of God, there is only one way. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one exclusive way of salvation, and there is no other. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is for us no way and pathway to our home in heaven. And as those who belong to Jesus Christ, our feet have been placed by God on that straight and narrow way which leads to everlasting life. But why then does the passage speak of ways and paths in the plural? It's not a denial of the fact that Jesus is the way, but it's simply indicating that in our Christian life, as those who belong to Jesus Christ, there are different aspects of earthly life, different circumstances, different opportunities, different seasons of our earthly life and pilgrimage. For some, presently, they're walking in the path of youth and the strength of youth. For others, they're walking in the pathway of old age and the end of their earthly pilgrimage. Others are in middle age. Some in a season of life where they have little children in the home, others in a season of life where their children are getting older, getting married, moving out of the home, having their own children, and we're entering the season of being grandparents. We stand in different relationships. Relationships in home, in family, relationships with others, in the church, our calling in a certain relationship to our co-workers at the job site. There are times of health, times of prosperity, and there's times of sickness and times of adversity. God has ordained all of the ways, all of the paths for us, all the different aspects, circumstances, opportunities, and seasons of our life as Christians. If we were going to make a broad categorization of the paths of earthly life, very simply, we could categorize them in two ways. There are relatively easy paths, and there are the difficult paths. At times, God leads us in easy paths. To use the figure of a traveler or a hiker, the trail before is well marked out. It's relatively even and smooth. And it's not a way that rises to steep peaks and to deep valleys, but the way is relatively flat and level. It's not a trail that exhausts us and taxes us. That way might be easy because we enjoy a certain earthly prosperity. We enjoy health. Things, from every earthly point of view, seem to go well in our life, and there's not tremendous burdens that God has placed upon us. We might refer to our pathway as easy in reference to the ordinary and the mundane responsibilities of life. A student from day to day going about the ordinary work at school. A father from day to day, the ordinary responsibilities at his job. A mother, the ordinary responsibilities and the day-to-day tasks in caring for the home and the children. But at other times, God has ordained that we travel in very difficult paths. Again, using the illustration of a traveler or a hiker, this pathway is very, very narrow. It's very, very steep. It's a rugged way, and the difficulty of that way exhausts us. It taxes our strength so that we can hardly go on. God leads us at times into those difficult, taxing, exhausting pathways where we want to throw up our hands and despair about continuing on anymore. The way might be difficult because we don't know what the next step along that pathway is going to bring. The future is dark and uncertain and unknown. And that fills us with fear and dread about what's coming in the future. That way might be difficult, not because it's unclear. We understand clearly what the will of God for us is, but the way is painful and difficult. We know the burden that has to be borne going forward because we may already be bearing that burden, but knowing the way forward means it's still a difficult and a painful way. We know what has to be done. We know what has to be said in that circumstance or to that person. We know what the right thing to do is. It doesn't make that any easier. God leads us, guides us in all of the paths of our life, whether easy or difficult. What are we to do? How do we respond to the guiding hand of God? How do we walk in those pathways, whether they're easy or difficult? The urgent and the necessary calling of this Word of God is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's not surprising. That's not something novel. That's not something we've never heard of before. It's not some new approach to how we live the Christian life and deal with the easy and the difficult of earthly life. And yet that bears repeating so often. We need to be reminded of that over and over again. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. If the way is easy, trust in the Lord. If the way is difficult, trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord means relying and depending upon Him entirely. Trust is faith. If we were dealing here with Reformed dogmatics, Reformed theology, we'd be in the section of Reformed theology that explains faith and the activity of faith. We're familiar with Lord's Day 7 and its definition of faith. Faith is a certain knowledge of all that God has revealed to us in His Word and a hearty confidence. And it belongs to the confidence of faith that we trust in God. When the Bible speaks of trust in God, it's simply talking about faith, believing in God, trusting in Him, depending upon Him. Trusting in God means leaning upon God. That's the figure that's used in the passage when it speaks of not leaning on our own understanding. But the positive is, trust in God means leaning upon God. Go back to the illustration of a traveler. Now the traveler is just a little child. Traveler, this little child is in some difficult situation in some unknown way. Child leans upon father, takes hold of father's hand for guidance and security and comfort. And when the child is exhausted and he's worn out because of the difficulty of the way, he so leans upon father that he rests entirely in father's hands. Father scoops up the little child, holds him close, and carries him along that way. That child is leaning, depending upon, casting himself entirely upon the Father's care and security and guidance. That's trust. That's trust in God. It's leaning upon Him entirely. It's committing our way entirely to the Lord. It's casting ourselves completely upon Him. Giving ourselves over wholly into His hands. To depend and rely upon Him entirely and for all things. Trust in the Lord. Lean upon Him. And what's included in that, according to the passage, is that we acknowledge Him in all our ways. Trusting in God means acknowledging Him in all of our paths. We acknowledge God by acknowledging our dependence upon Him. We acknowledge God when we go to God in prayer, as we're walking the pathway before us, acknowledging Him by going to Him in prayer, acknowledging our complete dependence upon Him. We acknowledge God by going to His Word, looking to the Word of God for guidance and direction on the pathway, looking to God's Word for the comfort and the encouragement and the strength. Press on in that way. But in addition to that, the passage literally says there, we're to know God in all our ways. The word acknowledge has that sense of acknowledge, but it most basically means to know God in all of our ways. We trust in God by knowing Him in all of our ways, knowing that His hand is the one that has ordained this path before us from eternity. And we know God in all of our ways by acknowledging His way is right and wise and good. I might not understand that. I might not be able to see how this is for my good and for my salvation, but trusting in God, I know and I confess His way is right, it's wise, it's for my good and salvation. Trust in God is to lean upon Him entirely and to acknowledge Him and know Him in all of our ways. All of our ways. Not just in some of our ways. Not just at certain times of our life, maybe when the way is difficult, but all of our ways. This is a comprehensive calling. It applies to every dimension, every relationship, every opportunity, every season of life, in all of our ways. We're to trust in the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord when we might judge the way to be easy. When we enjoy good health, financial prosperity, when the way to us seems easy, we're to trust in the Lord with the ordinary and the mundane. The student day after day going to school. The father day after day going to the same job. The mother, the same responsibilities in the home day after day, in the ordinary and the mundane. Trust in the Lord. To rely upon Him, depend upon Him for the grace and the strength to walk in the easy way, to carry out the ordinary and the mundane responsibilities of life. Trust in the Lord. And when the way is difficult, when the way is difficult because it's unknown, the path before us is unclear, and the next step is in darkness. We don't know what the next day or the next moment is going to bring for us. We don't know what the coming year is going to hold for us personally, for our families, for our congregation. When the way is dark and unclear, we trust in the Lord. And when that way is clear and yet difficult. When we know the burdens that we have to bear, when we know what has to be done and what has to be said, but it's difficult and it's painful, we're to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. 2020. Lean upon Him in all of your ways. Cast yourself entirely upon Him. Give yourself wholly into His hands. Depend upon Him at every moment and every day for every need. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge your dependence upon Him and know Him and His guiding hand in all of your ways. In all those ways, trust Him alone. He must be the exclusive object of our trust and dependence. There may not be any other. Our trust and our dependence may not be divided so that we put some of our trust in God and then our trust is also in someone or something other than God. The passage calls us to trust in God and God alone in all of our ways. This is a comprehensive and an exclusive trust. The way that that comes out in the text is by the passage warning against what is one of the greatest temptations for the child of God in this life. That's leaning upon ourselves. Passage says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. There are all kinds of things that we might put our trust in rather than God. Other people or other earthly things that we look to for comfort and security. But the greatest temptation for us is that we lean upon our own understanding. Our understanding is our ability to discern. We're very easily tempted to put our trust in our own knowledge, our own discernment of things. We do that when times are easy. We receive the times of health and prosperity with thanksgiving to God, and yet understand that those are often the most spiritually dangerous times for us. When everything is easy and everything's going well, it's easy for us to forget about God. Not for a moment to think about God, to depend upon God. When I have good health, I don't depend upon God for health and strength. I just assume I'll continue to be in good health. When I have my needs met and far beyond, and there's stockpiles of food and other necessities in the home, I forget about God and my moment-to-moment dependence upon Him. In the ordinary and the mundane, a student going to school and doing the same things over and over again. A father going off to work and the same job over and over. The mother in the home, washing and cleaning and preparing food. The same thing over and over again. We're tempted to do these things without a thought of God. Without acknowledging Him in those ways. Rather depending on our own strength. Our own understanding. to walk in the easy path. Tempted to lean on our own understanding, times of difficulty too. When the way is unclear and the way is steep and taxing, we're exhausted. In our own understanding, we're tempted to think we can't depend on God. He's led us in this way. How can we depend upon Him? We're tempted to question His wisdom. Is this the right way? Is this really good and wise? We're tempted to question His love and His care and His faithfulness to us. Does God love me? If this is the path He's leading me on? Or has He forgotten and forsaken me? Is all hope lost? We're tempted to depend upon our own understanding of things, to think we know what's best. We know what's the wise way. We know what would be good. We're tempted to depend upon our own strength to persevere in that way. But leaning upon our own understanding is so foolish. Our understanding is so limited and so shot through with sin. God made Adam in the beginning with a perfect understanding, knowledge and discernment to discern what is right and true. But that was lost entirely at the fall into sin. And though now we're regenerated by the Spirit and renewed in our understanding, we still have that old man of sin that cleaves to us. Our understanding is weak, it's limited, so shot through with sin. We don't understand accurately, though we think we do. We think we see clearly when in reality we're blinded. We don't understand things comprehensively. We don't see the whole picture and all of the aspects of it and how God has woven all of these things together. Understanding is limited. It's characterized so often by sin. To depend upon our own understanding of the path before us is folly. It's leaning upon a broken reed rather than a stout oak walking stick. We've got a flimsy reed that's going to break and pierce through our hand. It can't sustain us. Our own understanding can't bear the weight of us and carry us up and uphold us. There's only one who can. And that's God. God alone is able to uphold us in our paths of life. He calls us to exclusive trust in Him in all of our life, in the easy path and the difficult. To trust in Him alone. Text says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Our heart refers to the spiritual center of a person. Everything in our life flows out of our heart. And if we're trusting in God with all of our heart, we're trusting in God with all that we are. Trusting in Him alone. Why does God call us to that? Why this exclusive trust in Him? Why this comprehensive trust in all of our paths in Him alone. It's because of who God is. He is the Lord. Trust in the Lord, Jehovah, the I Am that I Am. That name of God indicates that He is self-existent and self-sufficient. He's not dependent upon anyone or anything else to give Him His being. And He's not dependent upon anything to continue to sustain and to preserve Him. He is truly independent. Which means He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. That name of God indicates His wisdom. The book of Proverbs is concerned with teaching us wisdom. And the source of that wisdom is not Solomon. The source of that wisdom is the all-wise God. God never makes a mistake. God never gets something wrong. God is never limited in His understanding. God is perfectly wise. All that He does, all that He wills, perfect harmony with His own being is right and good and wise. And that name of God indicates that He is a God of faithful covenant love to us. He is the I Am that I Am, and He never changes. He's immutable, unchanging in Himself, and He's unchanging in His covenant love and faithfulness to us. He loves us in His covenant. And that love never diminishes, it's never interrupted, and never comes to an end. In His love for us, He's faithful always. We can look back. We can look back on all the history of the world and the church. Read the Word of God and see revealed there the perfect faithfulness of God in preserving and providing for His church. We can go through the history of the church in the New Testament, read the volumes of church history, and in doing so, see again the faithfulness of God to His church. We can look back upon our own pilgrimage. Look back upon the paths already traveled and see revealed every single step of the way the faithfulness of God and His love and grace to us. But nowhere is that better revealed than in Jesus Christ and in His cross. There we see the power and the wisdom and the faithful covenant love of God for us fully and beautifully revealed. How faithful is God in His love for us that He's given Christ for us. Apart from Christ, there's no way, there's no pathway for us to heaven and to eternal glory. It's only the way that will bring us to the pit of destruction. Jesus Christ has blazed the trail for us. He's done so by His death and His resurrection. He's broken through the prison of the grave, which leads, apart from Christ, only to hell. He's opened up the way through death and through the grave so that death for us is a passageway in our pilgrimage to bring us to glory and the perfection of life in God's covenant. The one in whom we put our trust is Jehovah. the I Am that I Am, the Almighty, the Wise, the Faithful and Loving God who's revealed that in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we put our trust in Him alone. See the connection here between the knowledge and the trust of faith. It's in knowing who God is in all of His greatness and His glory that our trust in Him is strengthened as we grow in our knowledge, as we search the Scriptures, as we read of the majesty of God. Our trust in Him is strengthened because He's the independent, self-sufficient, almighty and sovereign God. We know He's the one who's determined our pathway and is able to bear us up. Because He is the perfectly wise God, we know that the way He's determined for us is right and good. Because He's faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah, we know whatever pathway He's determined for us, He's done it in His love for us. This way, perhaps the difficult way, is not because God has forgotten about us or now we're cut off from His love. This way in which He's leading us is an expression of His love for us. He loves us, and in His love, He's determined this is the best and the right way for us. Why then would we put our trust in anything else? Why would we lean upon our own understanding? We have God. We have Jehovah, who's able and who's willing to provide all that we need. Therefore, trust in Him alone. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If there's any more encouragement that's needed, the passage ends with a beautiful promise. End of verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Passage is not saying there that it's only when we trust in God that then He's directing our paths, as if at other times then He's not. God is always directing our paths, even when we might not consciously think about that or consciously be aware of that or in our own experience know that. God is always directing our paths for good. In the way of trusting in Him, that we consciously know that and experience that. God never disappoints. When we've put our trust in Him, depended upon Him, He's never let us down. He's never disappointed us. He's never been absent from us. He's always directing our paths and directing us along those paths. Even when the way is dark and it seems like we're all alone on that pathway, God is there as our guide and our Father. He's the one who's upholding us in His hands and leading us and carrying us along that way. And what's more, the passage literally says, "He shall straighten thy paths." At times our pathway seems crooked. It seems all out of place. It seems to us like the wrong way. And the way is difficult. There's a steep incline and a steep valley that must be walked through. God's promise is that He straightens our paths. He makes the crooked to be straight. He lifts up the valleys and brings down the steep incline so that we're able to walk that way. Now, that doesn't mean that He takes away all the troubles and the difficulties so that they're gone. It's not the promise of God. That's often the way we must walk. What it means is that He'll give us to know and understand that this is really a straight path leading us to glory. He'll give us to understand God has a good purpose in this and is working our good. And He'll strengthen us to walk that path. He'll give us daily the grace that we stand in need of to press on, to run the race, the course, the path He's laid out before us. What an encouragement that is. Hear the promise of our faithful God. He shall direct our paths. He shall straighten that which to us appears crooked. Therefore, trust in Him. The way before us in the year 2020 might be a very difficult way. As we stand today, it might seem very, very, very dark and unknown. And there may be fears of what struggles and hardships lie before us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do so in the confidence and with the encouragement. He will not leave or forsake. He is your constant guide, your Father and your friend who will uphold you, who will strengthen you by His almighty grace, and will lead you home. He'll lead us home to be with Him forever in glory, where all the burdens are removed, where the darkness is dispelled, and it's only the light of God's favor and His love forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for Thy Word. For the comfort and the encouragement that Thou dost supply through that Word. So strengthen us to press on not in despair or in hopelessness or fear and worry, but to press on in hope, to press on in confidence. Confidence not rooted in self, but confidence in Thee, our God. Forgive us, Father, of the weakness of our faith. We do confess that we are so weak in faith at times. We're so prone to trust in our own understanding. Have mercy. Strengthen us by Thy Word and by Thy Spirit, so that in this coming year we might live to the glory of Thy most holy name. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.